Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KTRH Garden Line does not necessarily endorse any of the products or services advertised on this program.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Welcome to KTRH Garden Line with Skip Richter.
Show me smell the grace in the grass.
Grazing in the grass is a yes, baby, can you see?
What a trip! Just watching as the world goes
by. Grazing in the grass is a yes, baby, can you see?
Well, good Saturday morning. I hope you have a nice, warm, hot cup of coffee in front of you and helping to get those two eyes open. I've been working on a pot of coffee for a while now. But here we are, ready to talk about gardening. Hey, we look forward to visiting with you today, as we always do. I know that when you have questions, other people will too. So we invite you to give us a call if you'd like to visit with me and talk about whatever is of interest to you. It could be, let's see, it could be what's the identity of this plant? What's wrong with my plant? You know, I always get calls on the three T's, trees, turf, and tomatoes. So if you've got a question about kohlrabi, this would be a good day to ask it. Whatever you want to talk about. We can look at diagnostics to identifications to just plain good advice. And hopefully we're going to give you some good advice today. Our phone number, 713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. We, you know, back at the house this past few days, I have been working on, let's just say, regaining my vegetable garden from a little bit of neglect. You know, when you're running around doing all kinds of other things, it's easy for you to look out one day and go, oh my gosh, that needs some help. And we did some help, pulled out some old crops, got those out of the way, began to prepare the soil, which includes adding some compost to the surface. I usually garden in a no-dig way, and I'm going to, or no-till way. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit here, but we add a little nutrient to the soil. Always, every time we do a crop changeover, I'll give a little bit of boost for the things that are coming along. Started planting some plants that are ready to go for the summer. It's certainly time. I realize when you look outside, it's not, or when you walk outside, it's a little on the chilly side, but that's going to pass. And if your tomatoes are out there, they're grumbling and talking about you, but they'll forgive and forget and take off growing here in a few days again. The thing that we want to remember when we're gardening in this area is that we have a very brief spring season, and we have a brief fall season too, for that matter. If you go up, let's say, you know, mid-America, New Jersey, Kansas, California, cut across like that, you've got a long growing season. You go up to the northern part of the states, Minnesota, someplace, you've got a fairly short growing season. It's kind of hard to grow okra or sweet potatoes up that far, because by the time it gets warm enough to plant, before too long, it's getting too cool for them to be happy. And so when you look at long growing seasons, like across mid-America, varieties that take a long time work just fine. You know, Brandywine tomatoes, my kind of poster example of that. It's a great tomato, but it takes a long time to start producing. So up there, that's just fine. But when you get down this far south, we have a narrow window. You know, we're kind of saying now that the frosts and freezes are over just based on average percentages. I wish I had a crystal ball, but we're saying that's over. But here comes summer. By the time we get to May, I call May a summer month here in this area. So we got to get things that move fast, and we got to get them in early. So I often cheat on planting my warm season crops and plant them before the last average fall frost, with the intent on covering them up a time or two if I need to. But that way I just get a head start. And so the combination of planting on time and then especially choosing cultivars that are going to move quickly and reach harvest quickly, that's a key. Well, I'll talk a little bit more about gardening activities here in a bit. But for right now, we're going to go and talk to Mark. And how are you this morning, Mark? Hello?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's up?
Hey, listen, I've got some rabbits up in here. I just can't seem to get them to grow. They were transplanted into my yard from a neighbor who also was struggling with them. I don't know really what's wrong with them. They seem to grow some leaves, and the leaves look really good when they're young, and then after a week or two, they start curling up and dying. So I got no growth except for at the very bottom of the plant, where it seems like those leaves are growing and dying quite quick.
All right, Mark, you are cutting out really bad. So what was the plant? I missed that. That's curling.
Oh.
All right. Mark, I'm going to go ahead and answer as best I can, but I'm not able to go back and forth. So petunias, I believe, is what he was talking about. And petunias, you know, they love the kind of weather we're having. I mean, they can take it on the slightly chilly side, definitely not a freeze and frost type stuff. But when the leaves are curling up on a plant, I look for one of two. Oh, excuse me. I had the wrong. I'm just got a clarification from Josh. Red tip phytinias, I believe, is what he was talking about. Josh, I'm going to try to come back to you here in a second. Whenever you see leaves that are curling, there's one of two or three things that can happen. It can be a virus, which I'm not aware of a virus on those plants that we have a common problem with here. Number two, it can be damage from broadleaf post-emergent weed killers, things that have like 2,4-D in them, for example. If they get on a broadleaf plant, they're going to cause problems. Or even the drift when things are a little warmer and they kind of volatilize and move. The other thing would be some type of an insect that's feeding on them and causing the leaves to curl. We have a number of different kinds of plants that you can get some, let's say aphids that are curled up in the tender new growth, and the growth just sort of curls around them because of their feeding, which works well for the aphids because they're protected then inside that curled up leaf. But it's going to be one of those things, but not being real positively clear on the plant you're talking about, it's kind of hard to go a little bit further than that. Our phone number, 713-212-5874. You're listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and we are here to talk to you about whatever is of interest to you. I was talking about getting out in my garden and getting some work done. I, in terms of preparing the soil, one of the things I always like to do is occasionally, you know, is to have a soil test just to see where I am, see what the nutrient levels are, at least of the macronutrients, the big ones that are needed in larger quantities. But you never want to forget the micronutrients, because just because it's called micro, that's just how much it needs. That's not how important it is. Every nutrient that we list when we talk about the essential plant nutrients, everyone is essential. So if you could take soil and let's just pick a micronutrient, let's say manganese. That's never, you're going to see a fertilizer that says, you know, great for manganese supply. But that's an important nutrient. If you could take all the manganese out of soil in your garden, which is impossible, but let's just say you could, a plant could not grow there because manganese is an essential nutrient that plants need. So they're all needed. That's why a good complete soil test occasionally is important, and that's why adding micros periodically can be important too. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. If you'd like to get on the board to talk next segment, 713-212-5874.
Forever. mind you for the things you did in my life. If I ever leave this world alive, I'll come back down and sit beside your feet tonight.
St. Patrick's Day music there for the morning. Hey, good morning. You are listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and we are here to answer whatever kinds of gardening questions you might have. Our phone number, 713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. Now, I know it's a little chilly outside, and so maybe things are moving slow this morning, but it is still going to be a day where we can get out and get a few things done. One of the things done that I have had to do lately is take care of some houseplants. I've got a group of plants I kind of clustered together in a window to, you know, give that extra humidity effect, and got back to looking at them, and a couple of them need to be moved up to a larger pot. There's one of them that's not doing really well, and it's interesting how, you know, you can give all these plants the exact same care, and you think they would all perform equally, and that's not how it always works. That's the interesting thing about gardening is it's not just a formula. You know, with engineering, you put the right numbers together, crunch them in the right way, and you get the right answer, right? Certainly with math, that's how things work. But boy, when you get into the natural world, there are so many factors that it's just it's just interesting. But I think that's what makes part of what makes it fun, just being able to get out there and get better and better at it. Maybe you have just started in gardening. Well, we're glad you're listening, because that's what we're here for, to help people have a more successful garden, a more bountiful garden, and a more beautiful landscape. I was talking about being out in the vegetable garden and getting the soil ready to go. I've noticed my raised beds have sunk down a little bit. And you probably have seen the same thing. Maybe you have a large container on the patio, or maybe it's just a raised bed out in the garden. And, you know, the box that you had the material in is now, instead of full, it's a third full or two-thirds full, for example. And that's just the oxidation of the organic matter. It's basically the breaking down of the organic materials. Our potting soils that we put in containers, our raised bed materials that we put in raised beds, those are highly organic materials. And organic matter, let's just say, goes away by and large. It decomposes away, and that's a good thing. That's what keeps soils fertile and nature going. But when that happens, you just need to add some more to it. And I am pretty much, I guess, maybe 95% a no-till gardener. I don't have anything against rototillers. I grew up, that's the only way we gardened, is each spring we pulverized the soil with a rototiller, made rows, planted. I mean, you can grow that way. It works okay. But as I've gotten through the years and observed things and just kind of thought things out a little bit, I've gotten to where I don't do as much rototilling at all. In fact, I have a little tiller that I use to just kind of break up, maybe make a little seed bed, kind of make some finer textured soil, or occasionally when I'm trying to mix up some organic materials in a trench or whatever, I'll use that to kind of mix them in. But in general, I just basically garden by cutting the plants off, leaving the roots in the ground, letting them naturally decompose, leave those open channels down in the soil, and I just plant right through it. You know, occasionally there's, I don't know, some, maybe I'm trying to put in a little row of seeds, and if you got some big chunky roots and, let's just say, old plant stumps from the past vegetable plot in there, it's kind of hard to do, so clean it up a little bit. But in general, I just don't do as much. And I think one of the reasons is because I like to avoid breaking up the soil structure. You know, we've had a little bit of rainfall, and down here we get a lot of rainfall through the course of the year. And if you've got a heavier soil, it takes time to build a good structure to it. And when you rototill, or when you walk on the soil with the crushing the soil crumbles with your feet, it smashes them down, especially when they're wet. Dry soil in a clay soil can be like concrete. You know, you rattle your teeth out trying to rototill it. If it's very wet, it's kind of like almost like butter, some of these clay soils. And, you know, just you just slice through it and just make a big chunky mess, destroy structure, and then it really is hard when it dries out. But finding it at that moist stage where it does break apart well, that's when you would want to do any kind of soil work. And that's one of the reasons why, and I've often said this before, but when you are looking at an upcoming gardening season, whenever you have fairly fairly moist conditions, but not wet, when the soil is, let's just say, ideal to work, go ahead and work it and get it done. Because inevitably, when you go, okay, I'm going to put in a garden in late March, I'm going to plant some things in April, and you wait until 2 days before you want to plant, and here comes some rain, and it rains several inches, and now you got muck and mire out there, and you can't prepare the soil, and your planting gets delayed. So an old 90-year-old gardener, Mr. Alden Colston, up in Montgomery County, Conroe, Texas, he just said to me one time, in fact, he said it all the time, you can always add water, but you can't take it away. And that his point was that when he had a chance to prepare the soil right, he got it done. Because inevitably, when you want to plant, not always good conditions for trying to do that. So just something to think about. But I use a tool also. By the way, let me give you our phone number here. I'm droning on, but we all like to talk about our gardens. 713-212-5874. This is KTRH Garden Line. 713-212-KTRH. I use a tool called a broad fork now more than, well, I never used them before. I used to use a spading fork some. And when you do the traditional spading fork, you are bending over and lifting up the soil and the weight of the soil on that spading fork and turning it upside down, dropping it on the ground. You're mixing with the spading fork. That's a lot of work. And I've kind of hit a time where I got to be a little careful with what I do to my back. And if I can get out there and the invincible Superman, spend a whole Saturday working like crazy and waking up the next day in the prenatal position, folded up, unable to stand up straight. And so I like I still use a spading fork, but I'll just sort of push it into the soil and lean back on the handle and crack the soil open, just fracture it a little bit. Don't turn it over. Just open up some aeration down into the soil. Break the structure up a little bit, because this is like when you aerate your lawn, you leave a hole behind. You're going to have stuff that falls in the hole. That'll be the nutrients. That'll be water moving in. That'll be organic matter washing down into that hole. And all of that builds the soil. The broad fork that I've been using lately, just think of it as a spading fork on steroids with two handles. You stand on this broad bar, and these very strong tines push down into the soil as you grab two handles, one on each side, and you sort of wiggle back and forth and wiggle them in. Then you just lean back on the handles, and even with a heavy clay soil, you can really crack it open with a broad fork, and you never bend over. You never lift anything. You just wiggle it in by standing on it and letting your weight push the tines in as you wiggle it, and then leaning back and cracking it open. And for folks that have a bigger garden, or for people that want to go into a spot where you've never gardened and start to prepare the soil, a broad fork's a good way to go. I'll spread compost over an area. I did a garden last year for a little trial patch that I was doing. Spread compost over it, went down the rows with a broad fork. Ended up having to, go back and do it again and again, because we're talking about here an unprepared soil. And so you get down so far and let it maybe water it or something, let it kind of get moist. And then you go down a couple days later, you go down again and again, and you can get that soil ready to go. Soil, we talk all the time about the importance of building your soil before you plant. And it's because when you plant, you're already 80% of the way to success or failure. And if you're listening and you are wanting to have more success with your garden, if you're wanting to put in a new garden, start with the soil. That's the tip. Spend money on the brown stuff before you spend money on the green stuff, and you will end up having much, much better success. And we do want to have success. That is our goal, right? To have a successful and a productive garden. Our phone number is 713-212 713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and you're listening to Garden Line. We're going to be around until 10 o'clock today. We'll be back doing this again tomorrow, by the way, from 6 to 10 a.m. By the way, the best time to get on is first thing.
Yes.
I don't know why, but some people don't want to wake up at 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And, you know, with all the gripping excitement of this show, I would think that they couldn't sleep at night.
That
and they would just go ahead and get out of bed. And
you would expect that. The coffee should be ready.
Right. It's getting deep in here. You know, I'm glad I wore boots today. What are you going to tell us? Good news?
Well, yes. We're going to consider this an all good news newscast, I think.
Wow. Well, I'm on the edge of my seat.
That's what you wake up early for.
I'm telling you. Unfortunately, people don't behave out there, so it's kind of hard to always just give good news, right?
Well, we have an arrest in a big case, and we're going to consider that good news.
Wow. Okay.
Coming up next.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Don't be good. Come on, don't dance and you get it on rock and roll. Mama, don't dance and you get it on rock and roll. When evening rolls around and it's time to go to town, where do you go? To rock and roll.
I don't know. I know we're supposed to be talking gardening, but when I just start listening to music like the Mama Don't Dance, oh my gosh, Loggins and Messina. I could just keep going, just keep listening to that. Well, hey, let's talk gardening, though. If you'd like to, give us a call, 713-212-5874. You're listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and we are looking forward to talking about whatever you're interested in, as long as it's related to gardening. We don't do rocket science or fishing or other things like that on the show. I mean, I can give you my opinion, but that's not worth much, right, on those topics. But what I'd like to continue with just for right now. Oh, actually, I forgot some. I wanted to tell you guys, if you have a chance to get out and about today, I hope you will come down to Plantation Ace Hardware down in Richmond. It's off Mason Road. Those of you down in Fort Bend County probably very familiar with it. But from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., I'm going to be at Plantation Ace Hardware. And I always love to meet listeners. We were out in Warren Southern Garden in Kingwood the other day and got to meet a lot of nice folks. And I'm hoping to meet some of you down at Plantation Ace today. If you've got some things you want identified, like what is this bug? What is this plant? What's wrong with this plant? Maybe you can put them in a bag, zip them up. We don't need things crawling all over the place out down there. But I'll take a look at them. If you have some photos on the phone, I'd be glad to look at those and kind of help you with some plant questions you might have. So this is a chance to kind of one-on-one, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. Just remember, when you take photos, take maybe something from a little bit of a distance and then something from very close as you can get. Check and make sure they're in good focus, because if they are fuzzy, I will give you a fuzzy answer as to what's going on in the photo. 713-212-5874. I was talking about being out in the garden yesterday, and actually this past week, a couple of times. The leaf season is soon drawing to a close. And those of you who have, you know, heard me before, probably heard me drone on about don't throw away leaves. They're valuable. Put them back in your landscape. Well, I have some bags that I've kind of collected here and there as people have nicely put them out at the curb for me. And so I was spreading those down the walkways.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I took some bags and just sort of broke them open. And between my beds, I'll probably pile them about 12 inches high, the weeds, the leaves, and then walk on them. And, of course, they sink down to nothing. And you put some more, and they sink down to nothing. At the end of the season, that walkway, not only is it an all-weather pathway, which is important when it rains, you know, you don't want to go out and get muddy every time you try to walk in the garden, but that decomposes. And at the bottom of that walkway trench, you've got some good stuff that you can, then, I'll do a couple things with it. That's one place where I run the rototiller, you know, scrape back the old top leaves that are dry and just look like the forest floor. And when you scrape them back, you see what also looks like the forest floor, the decomposing leaves that have been, you know, stepped on and covered up and kept moist, and they're starting to decompose away. And that's when I'll run my rototiller through that. It breaks them up a little more because they're kind of chocolate brown and crumbly, that leaf mold kind of stage they're hitting there, and chop them up more. I may put it in a wheelbarrow and take to use it in maybe extending some potting material. I may put it in a bed out front or some other bed that where I can't do the walkway composting. But that works. It works really well. And I cannot imagine a season without it. There's so many bags of leaves go into a garden. When I was in Montgomery County, in the test gardens up there at the Montgomery County Extension Office, master gardeners help work with those gardens. By the way, if you haven't been up there, you've got to go see them. They're awesome. But when I was up there, we had a little garden that was 30 by 35, and we put 300 bags of leaves in it in a season by this method. And not doing that at one time, but you're able to get that done. Well, let's go out now to Richmond and talk to Marcy. Hey, Marcy, how are you?
Good morning.
Good.
I have a question about, you were talking about the raised beds earlier, vegetables that I'm going to be planting.
Yes.
And you were talking about how the soil kind of shrinks down.
Yes.
And that's happened. So
okay.
Should I add more soil and then add compost on top, or should I just add more compost?
I would, if you're going to replant and there's nothing in the container, I would just mix fresh new soil in to increase the volume of what you have. If you've got a plant, you can lay over the container, slide the plant out, put some fresh soil in the bottom, put the plant back in so it's at the right level, and fill in around it with fresh soil and keep going. Either of those will work pretty good. All right.
Okay. I could hardly hear anything you said, but my phone was breaking up, but I'll turn on the radio real quick. Maybe I'll hear it.
That's right. And we'll be available by podcast too. Thank you so much, Marcy. I'm going to go to a break, but Jeff, we will catch you first thing when we come back. So hang on. Our number, if you'd like to get on the board, 713-212-5874. You know, I can hear you singing. I know that. I mean, remember when you could harmonize with music? Remember those days? Hey, you're listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and we are here to talk gardening with you. Our number, 713-212-5874. And we're going to start off this segment by going out to Southwest Houston and talking to Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Skip. You're doing a great job, man. I love your focus on the veggie gardens.
Thank you.
The bug.
You do.
You made me feel terrible a little while ago, though, because I got the tiller out about a month ago and tilled up my old bed.
Oh, my God.
I had tomatoes and beans and everything in, but you made me feel better right at the end of the segment.
Okay.
Because I had about 6 inches of leaf mold on top of it that I tilled that
there
all down
go.
In. So,
well, look, people have tilled.
Is that
for
a bad thing? Because that's no. Kind of what I've done. I've covered everything with the leaf mold. I got my own little leaf factory back here. I've been collecting leaves since last fall.
Well, they say there's more than one way to skin a cat, Jeff, and there's definitely more than one way to garden. And nothing wrong with tilling. You can do that. You just have to keep doing it because, you know, you're fluffing it up, but it's going to settle back down. And so, but if you're putting organic matter in it, you're doing the right thing.
Well, good. Then I feel better because I'm getting ready to plant all my beans in a portion of it right now. I got the winter garden and salad bar going in there. But
oh, good, good. Well, what are you about to put in? What kind of plants are you wanting to put in next?
I heard such great things about these contender bush beans, so I'm going to plant a bunch of those and see how they work.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with contender. It's been, gosh, it's been around for decades, a long time bean, but it's a good one. I still plant it. We do plant trials, and I may try one particular year, six different green beans, and there's some other good ones. There's a lot of other good ones out there, but contender is just kind of like the old faithful. You know, you want to make sure if you're going to plant more than one, at least one of them ought to be contender.
Yeah, I have some other bush beans too I'm going to plant, but that's basically, is it going to be okay if it's rainy or it's kind of muddy in there too? I've actually had a few bags of the soil out here, the veggie herb soil from,
talking about heirloom
from,
soils?
The people that make the works.
Okay.
Heirloom soils.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to throw that over top and then plant it in that. Would that be, that make it good?
Yeah, you could do that. As long as the soil is wet, though, hold off on mixing the soil itself. Now, when you're using a mix like, you talk about the veggie and herb soil, the works, those kinds of things, that you don't have to worry about it being wet when you work it, because it's essentially all organic matter, the vast majority of it is, and so I wouldn't worry about it. But when you're dealing with your soil, just hold off, especially with the rototiller, on working it when it's wet. I usually will pull any mulch or leaves back off the surface to have that sun shine on the soil and dry it out as fast as it can. That mulch kind of slows the drying, and so that's
maybe
the one
I'll
time
wait till tomorrow then, but yeah. I'm not going to till any more of my beds. I got the leaf mold on. I'm just going to throw the soil into the leaf mold and leave it.
All right. Well, I was not trying to do garden shaming there, so don't feel bad about it.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. What you said, it makes perfect sense.
It does. Now, every kind of gardening has its pros and cons. But for no-till is you've got stuff in the ground and on the surface, and people like to have that nice clean seed bed, so that's one time when I might do a little bit of just a light surface tilling. But
I will tell people, give them an incentive to collect the leaves. I have very few leaves I have to deal with when I put a nice big six inch layer of leaves on top of everything. You don't have to worry about weeds.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
I actually mix grass clippings in with mine, so
it
turns into a mulch, kind of.
All right. Well, Jeff, I've got some sort of a gremlin in the electronic works here. You're getting real scratchy on me, so I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you again. When you have the opportunity to add organic matter, it's always a good time to do that. And Jeff mentioned grass clippings. If you have a lawn, or if maybe your neighbor is producing the clippings for you, they just want to make sure that they're not using a broadleaf herbicide in that lawn grass. You spray that over and it gets on the grass, you cut the clippings, and some of those products are a little bit persistent. In the home market, not so much as in the ag market. When you get hay off of a pasture that's been treated for brush control, that is some serious and long-term stuff that you're bringing in there. We'll talk about that some other time, but even the home products, you just make sure you're getting them from a lawn that doesn't have that stuff on sprayed on the surface, and those clippings work well. You just don't want to put them too thick. You put grass clippings 4 inches thick, and it can be kind of wet and nasty underneath there. I don't know if you've ever had a bag at the curbside that, you sat out in the sun for a couple of days, and you open it up, and whoo, boy, I mean, that smell will hit you when you open that thing up. So, but don't let the clippings go. They're valuable. They did a study, Texas A&M AgriLife did a study up in Dallas years ago, and they collected clippings from in a bagger lawnmower, and they sent them to a lab to see what was in them, exactly what was in them, and they dried the clippings, weighed them, and determined how many pounds of that organic material were they putting down? And then they multiply that times the number of times that they mowed during the year. And even if you fertilize twice a year, you put more nutrient down with your lawnmower via clippings than you do with fertilizer. Now, does that mean you don't fertilize? No, absolutely not. Nitrogen, for example, volatilizes away, it washes away. Other, like potassium, can move in the soil, and the plants use it. There is some loss in the process, even of the decomposing and the whatever. And if you want, you know, your top-notch lawn, you're going to need to do the nutrient. But if you bag your clippings and put them at the curb and someone hauls them away, well, that's free organic fertilizer, and you didn't buy it, you rented it. When you return clippings, you buy the fertilizer. Now you have those nutrients on your property that are recycling that you can keep benefiting from. But when you bag it up, those nutrients you paid for now are being sent into a garbage truck somewhere down the street. And it just doesn't make sense. And so if you do bag, you're going to need to fertilize significantly more to have the same kind of lawn than if you didn't bag. So think about that. I know I talk about this a lot, but we can learn a lot from nature. And again, it's not to say that, well, just leave everything alone. If you, you know, just mow and don't do anything. No, if you want a beautiful lawn, you need to fertilize it. You need to use products that have good nutrient content. Products like Azomite that will provide those micros and stuff. Even top dressing with some compost is a good thing. And as your lawn is struggling, you need to figure out why and get that fixed. But overall, as gardeners, we need to recognize that if it is a former plant, a clipping, a leaf, a branch, that it shouldn't leave our property. If we have a way of grinding it up, of shredding it up, of composting it, of using it, don't throw those things away. Free organic fertilizer. Hey, we'll be back next hour, 713-212-5874.
KTRH Garden Line does not necessarily endorse any of the products or services advertised on this program.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to KTRH Garden Line with Skip Richter.
Show me the smell of grazing in the grass.
Grazing in the grass is a guess, baby, can you hear?
What a trip, just watching as the world goes
past. Grazing in the grass is a guess, baby, can you hear?
There are so many pretty things to see while grazing in the grass.
Grazing in the grass is a guess, baby, can you hear?
Well, good Saturday morning. You are listening to Garden Line, which is a good thing to do for a gardener right now. And it, look outside, it's still kind of dark. I mean, I guess if you had headlights, you could be doing a little bit of gardening. But this is a time to kind of get inspired and ready to go for gardening. I hope you'll give us a call. It's 713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. And we are going to talk about a variety of things over the course of this morning. I know, especially when you guys call, that I don't know what's going to happen when the phone rings. So that's one of the fun things about doing a call-in show. It's one of the fun and scary things about doing a call-in show, because each call is some new person wanting to talk about some new thing. So I'm sitting here trying to be the intergrape. Remember the intergrape? California raisins, the intergrape. Anyway, sitting here trying to be the intergrape on whatever the next question might be is always fun. I guess I call it stump the chump, which, you know, it's not always that hard to do. You know, the world of horticulture is so broad. One way I like to look at it is when you look at the life sciences in a university, that there's disciplines, there's soil science, there is entomology, there's plant pathology, there's botany. Okay, get the idea? But horticulture is, I guess you could say it's a discipline, but really it's a combination of disciplines. You know, when I walk up and look at a yellow plant, my brain is thinking, well, is that naturally yellow? Is that what that's supposed to look like? Because there are plants like that. Is it a lack of iron? Is it a lack of nitrogen? A lack of sulfur? You know, there's things that can make a plant yellow. Is it a root rot in the soil that is causing problems? You see what I'm saying? Or was it? Is it perhaps a chemical that was used around it that is causing that kind of yellowing? So we sort of have to bring it all together. And that's, I think that's the fun part. You know, that's kind of the mixture of all things into horticulture that makes it so much fun. Now, on a new gardener standpoint, it'd be a little bit intimidating. You know, it's easy to just go, well, A plus B equals C and you're done. But it's a little more complex than that. But that's why we're here. You can give us calls. By the way, if you're going to be down in Pearland area today, I'm going to be down there at the Pearland Ace Hardware. That's going to be, that's out on Mason Road in Richmond. Those of you Fort Bend County folks are familiar with that. I'll be there from 11 to 1. So when we finish up here, I will jump in a car and head that way. I hope you'll come out and bring me some of your tired, your weary, your huddled masses of plant material, and we'll see if we can identify them, diagnose them, or if you just want to show pictures of a tomato and brag about it, well, I guess that'll be allowed too. Hey, we're going to go out now to Pearland. By the way, the number 713-212-5874. Good morning, Ryan. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. How can we help?
My main question is about soil temperatures and plant trees and shrubs.
Okay.
And if it is something else now.
Okay. We're still having that problem with scratchy sounds. So, Ryan, I think you're asking about soil temperature, and what were you wanting to know about planting now? What plant?
Yeah, if it's okay to start planting trees and shrubs now.
Yes.
Like landscaping.
Yeah. Trees and shrubs, forget soil temperature. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, really. In fact, I say the best time to plant a tree and shrub is in the fall, because it has all winter to get settled in. Winter is also good, and spring is also good. You can even plant them in the summer. It's kind of touch and go. You have to really baby them along more when it's hot and they're just now getting in the ground. But now is an excellent time to put in trees and shrubs.
Perfect.
All right.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for the call, Ryan. I appreciate that. The soil temperature, I guess, is most important when we're talking about pre-emergent weed control. So if you were going to put a product down and you wanted to prevent a weed seed from successfully germinating and establishing a plant, that's what a pre-emergent is for. And so soil temperature is critical, because soil temperature drives weed seed germination. You know, let's say crabgrass wakes up a little bit earlier than grass burr might, for example. And so grass burr wants a little bit warmer soil than crabgrass does to sprout. So if you wait until they've already sprouted and established, it's too late. So we watch soil temperature for that. It's also important when you're putting your seeds in the ground, or when you're growing transplants. I guess that wouldn't be soil temperature. That'd be media temperature, but, or potting soil temperature. But, you know, if you get them in the right range, the seeds jump up, they get going, and everything. You get better stands of seeds. And so I would consider soil temperatures from that standpoint. But when it comes to planting a perennial, you know, an existing plant, putting in bulbs, putting in shrubs, trees, and woody vines, we don't worry about it. Because, you know, it's not like a seed is having to germinate there to do well. By the way, just a little tip. You know, I always talk about mulching and the importance of mulching and the benefits of mulching, and those are all true and they're there. But the one time when I pull the mulch back is in spring, because I want to warm that soil up faster. Maybe it's a tomato plant and you're putting in a transplant. It's not germinating, it's a transplant. But if the soil is warmer, you're going to get faster early growth than if the soil is cooler. And so for a little while, we leave that. So I leave my soil bare and then pull the mulch in around it. Hey, let's go to the woodlands now. Let's talk to Matt. Good morning, Matt. We got Matt on the phone.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, I can. How can we help?
Excellent. Okay. Hey, I've got two Russian pomegranates. They're both in containers.
Okay.
They're about 3 years old, probably about, I would say, 8 or 9 feet high. They blossom every year, but they've yet to bear fruit. When could I expect that?
Well, they should be bearing soon. The pomegranates are, they're not that picky about bearing, so I'm not sure what all is going on with those. If they go through some stress, drought stress in a container, anything that's kind of setting them back a little bit, that could be part of the factor. But I would expect to see something pretty quick.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I appreciate that, Skip.
All right, Matt. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Our phone number is 713-212-5874. We are going to take a break. And if you want to call, Josh will get you on the board so we can talk to you first thing when we come back. My daughter calls this the stalker song. You know, I never thought about that before. Now I can't unhear that whenever I hear the song. It is kind of creepy, right? I don't know if you've looked at that. Maybe I just ruined it for you. Sorry about that. Hey, you're listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and we are here to answer gardening questions. Our number, if you write it down, give us a call. 713-212-5874, 212-5874. And let's start this segment out by going out to a leaf and talking to Ralph. Hello, Ralph.
Good morning. I want to start a food garden with just one food. I'm a plant, you know, like a bean or avocado, whatever it may be. But I want to know, I'm an amateur, I don't know nothing, and I have much time, so I know I'm going to spend time with the food. So what's the easiest one to start with that will give me a lot of trouble?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ralph. You know, it comes down to what you like to eat, and also if you're doing it to try to save some money on the grocery bill, or, you know, there's things we can grow that are easy to grow, but they're also very inexpensive in the grocery store versus other things that might be more expensive. So there's a lot of motivations behind what you choose. But I mean, you can't get easier than something like radishes, you know, and 28 days, you've got something you can eat. Now, I am not a radish fan, so I would not grow radishes. But another easy one would be, I think, green beans. We were talking about contender green beans earlier. You're going to get, if you get a variety that's going to produce you something in about 50 days, somewhere around 50 days, give or take 5 days, that's a good variety. Those are pretty easy to grow, pretty simple. So, I mean, we can name some other things. Cucumbers, if you've got good sunlight, they're going to do pretty well for you, too. I like growing cucumbers on a fence because when it comes to easy, then they go straight up and you don't have them crawling around the ground, laying in the dirt. You're stepping on the vines, trying to get in there and find cucumbers. So I'd go vertical with them.
Why do they call it a contender bean?
I don't know. That's just the name. It's a variety name. You know, it's like, yeah, it's not a type of bean. The type of bean would be a bush bean, and contender right. is a variety or a cultivar.
And can I plant that in a container?
Well, you could. Now, if you're going to go to a container, then I would probably look at a kind of a bush type plant, and, you know, tomatoes and peppers and eggplant are all bush type plants. Eggplant, by the way, is pretty easy to grow. It's not on the top of the list of what people grow, but there's a lot of great dishes. I mean, you can't make baba ganoush with an eggplant, but it's not that difficult. It puts up with the heat better than some of its relatives in that family, like tomato and pepper do. Another option in a container would be to do something like carrots, where you just produce the roots. They take a little bit longer. They're a little bit more of a challenge, but I would avoid, you know, unless you just have a special space, I would avoid vining crops. But if you wanted to grow a cucumber, for example, there are bush type cucumbers. Now, what that means is they don't really grow a bush. They just aren't so viney. The vines are short, and so it's a more compact growth habit. All right.
The carrot sounds good.
The challenge with carrots is they take a good while to germinate and to get established. And so, you know, you're trying to take care of them. You're trying to keep them moist because the seeds are planted right up near the soil surface, if not on the soil surface. And so it's a longer term thing in a container, which for a lot of folks, that's a little bit more of a challenge.
I see. Okay, thank you.
I appreciate the call, Ralph. Have fun gardening out there in A Leaf. Containers, if you're listening to this and you just listen because you like to hear garden talk and stuff, but you've never tried gardening, or maybe you're a mom or dad with some young kids that are kind of getting old enough and you want them to get in touch with nature and learn how to garden, or maybe eat vegetables. You know, if they grow it, they're much more likely to eat it. And if they eat it, they're much more likely to have a healthy life as opposed to the processed world of food we live in. Containers are a way to go. Just get you a plenty big container, a good size. Like, you know, I would at least 5 gallons or 10. If you're going to do a tomato, I'd say 10 gallons would be the smallest I would plant in. I know you can grow them in less, but you want it to be foolproof. You don't want to have to, oh my gosh, I forgot to water it for a day and a half. Now it's wilted and I just messed up my production. So get a good size container, put a good quality soil in it. You know, we have some wonderful quality potting mixes here. While we talk about them on the show that will provide you good drainage, good water holding capacity, good nutrient holding capacity. And I would say if you just want to give gardening a first time try, we'll start with a container or two or three or 10 and get them lined up and try growing things. I have a big garden, a really large garden area that I garden in, but I still garden in containers in the patio because I just like it. And containers are cool and they're fun to do. So let's go on to another call. By the way, the number, if you'd like to be on Garden Line, is 713-212-5874. We're going to go out to Port Neches and talk to Janet. Morning, Janet.
Good morning. I was wondering what the best kind of soil is to use when you're planting your plants in pots.
In pots? We have a number of good quality types of soil. You know, I was mentioning earlier talking about the jungle land mixes. There's a jungle land for the container. Jungle land works really well. Heirloom soils has some good quality mixes. Depending on the size of the pot, even something like the veggie and herb mix would do really well. I mean, I could go on and on about a lot of the different products that are out there. But if you hear me talk about them on here, it's a product that I have, I've tried, and I believe in. I believe it'll work. So, say that again, please.
I sure do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Janet. I appreciate the call. Have fun getting out there in the garden. I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be up at Plantation Ace Hardware. That's on Mason Road in Richmond. I'll be there today. Try to get there at 11 o'clock. So I'll hit the ground running right after the show and head that way. But they also have a number of quality mixes. The kinds of things I've been talking about that you hear on the air on Garden Line, you're going to be able to find them out there. So come out. Let's visit. Talk about whatever you want to talk about gardening-wise. And then maybe you can pick up a bag of a mix like that that would help you get off to a good start in container gardening. Our number is 713-212-5874. I've been talking about some of my gardening activities over the weekend, and one of the things that I find interesting in the garden is as you begin to grow crops, you start to find the resprouts of things that you grew before. So your plants that were once your beloved vegetables now become weeds in the garden. And I say that, you know, tongue in cheek, joking, but like I let a tomato hit the ground last year and I don't know what was wrong with it, but it just sort of decomposed right there. And now I have this little cluster of tomato seedlings popping up out of the ground. I grow so much okra that I don't know, I could probably put South Louisiana out of business, or at least have something for every pot of gumbo. And I have okra seeds coming up all over the place in the garden. So anyway, we try to have fun when we're gardening. You know, if you haven't tried before, my handful of tips to start off for success is, number one, a sunny spot. If you don't have sun, you don't make carbohydrates. You don't make carbohydrates, there's not going to be a carrot or a tomato or the things that we're trying to grow. I would also suggest you get good soil. I beat that horse to death every time I'm on the air, but soil is the secret to success. Ooh, that's a lot of S's.
Yes, the secret of success.
Yeah, that's right. Planting at the right time and picking the right varieties, those are all important. But it's not rocket science. You can do it. Nature does it every day. A seed drops on the ground. Nobody tills the soil. Nobody fertilizes it. It just sprouts up and starts to grow. Now, we want a little higher percentage success than nature, so we do all these wonderful things to it. But, hey, give it a try. It will change your life. Nikki, do you know that there are a stack of studies on the mental health effects of actually getting around plants?
Really?
Yes.
That would be fascinating to me.
It is. It is my therapy, I'm telling you. And if you've ever paid for a therapist, it's cheap therapy. You know, in gardening, people talk about, well, gardening, you know, you got to cost money and stuff. Well, I mean, come on, you know. Someone told me one time, well, you know what the price of vegetables is when you go to all that? Well, number one, you can do it cheaper. But do you know what the price of deer meat is when you have a deer lease and a rifle? Do you know what the price of bass fish meat is when you have a bass boat and
Absolutely.
So on? Gardening is a cheap hobby, man. It's fun.
Get off cheap.
Plus, you get tomatoes and mental health.
There you go.
All right. Well, that was my pitch.
Well, I'm going to pitch something special coming up at the rodeo tonight.
Oh, are you going to say anything about a guy named Brad?
No.
Oh.
Something else in addition to Brad, if you're going to see Brad.
I've seen Brad. I saw Brad Paisley, I don't know how many years ago, but here's how many years ago it was. Taylor Swift was a little backup singer I'd never heard of.
Really? Oh,
yeah, over in New Braunfels, I-35 in Texas.
And they probably both have shows tonight.
They probably do. And Taylor's kind of become a little more famous, probably.
A little bit.
Yeah, than
yes,
some
I think
out
she
there.
Is probably, if not there, the magnitude of celebrity that the Beatles had achieved back in the 60s. That's Taylor Swift today.
Well, I'll tell you. I love Brad Paisley. I love Brad Paisley.
What a night.
All right. I think we got news or something we're supposed to do, right?
This slow, darling, tell me, would you like to dance? Me neither. I was just being polite, thank goodness. My feet are much too tired. I'm sure you're tired, too. I can see an empty booth. Would you like to maybe sit and talk a while? Me neither. We never.
Oh, man. Okay, Brad, I think I'd give up on that one. It's not working out. But you got to give him a plus for persistence. Speaking of persistence, we are going to talk about success in the garden a little bit in this next segment here. But before I go into talking about some of the other secrets of success, I want to talk to Melissa. Melissa's out in Magnolia. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
How are you this morning, and how can we help?
I'm doing great. On my way to take care of health issues. But anyways, I just kind of wanted to know. I popped on after you had finished talking about fertilizer for the yard. I unfortunately missed putting down the fertilizer for the fall and winter. Mm-hmm. And so now I have got weeds coming up all over the place. Mm-hmm. And other than getting out there and digging them all up, what would you recommend?
Well, first of all, it's a real general question, just saying weeds in general, because there's a lot of different kinds of weeds, and maybe we would do different things. Grassy weeds are hard to kill in a grassy lawn once the weeds are up and growing. There are things you can do to prevent them. A pre-emergent product can prevent the ones that haven't germinated yet, but a lot of our warm season weeds have germinated already. So what I usually do, and I've got an area of the lawn that's gotten a little weedy from neglect, I'll just put my bagger on, and for the first mowing, I'll set the mower down low. I'll bag it and get all those blooms and weed seeds and everything that I can out of there to cut down on that, and then switch over to focus on the best lawn care practices that I can do to build a dense lawn before next fall, when these same weeds that are growing now will be germinating again. And that would include mowing, watering, and fertilizing. The more often you mow, the better. Mowing at a little higher height is good, gives the grass a little more solar panels up there to catch the sun. And then when you fertilize, it's time to go ahead and start. By the time we've, let's say, mowed twice, it's definitely that grass plant is ready to very efficiently and quickly take up the nutrients. And we're kind of hitting that point pretty quick here. So I would say fertilizer would be the very next step. Now, if you had some specific weeds, you know, I know you're kind of up in Magnolia way. I'm gonna be down Fort Bend County near Richmond. But anytime you're here, we're going to be somewhere, you can put those in a bag, bring them to me, let me look at them, because I may see some weeds in there and go, oh, wait a minute. With this weed, you need to use this product or do this particular thing for it.
It is so unfortunate that I did not get any of that. And I understand you're having phone issues.
Okay. Wow. I'm sorry.
Is it possible for me to send an email?
I tell you what, I'm going to have Josh pick up here when I hang up with you. Just hold on, and he can talk to you. But also remember, anybody listening, we are available by podcast, and they post those pretty soon after the show, so you can go back and listen. And hopefully that'll get us through the glitches. We got gremlins crawling through the wires this morning, kind of making things interesting. But anyway, thank you so much for the call. Our phone number, if you'd like to talk, is 713-212-5874. 212-KTRH. Good Saturday morning. A little Elton John there to get us rolling, get our blood flowing this morning. I hope you're planning on gardening today. This is I looked at two different weather things, and one of them said it wasn't going to rain at all, and the other one said we're going to get a little bit of rain, but I don't know. I just enjoy gardening. You probably heard the phrase, ain't got sense enough to get out of the rain. Well, maybe that applies, but if it's just a light rain, I enjoy doing it. And by the way, you know, a Saturday where there's a little bit of a drizzle here and there, it lets you have the quality staff at a garden center almost to yourself. I mean, you know, on a regular sunny Saturday, oh my gosh, the place is crawling and everybody's hopping, trying to do everything. A little secret to success is this is a great time to get out and actually visit some of our garden centers, because they do have quality staff that can help you, that can direct you to the products that you need, and even answer your planting questions as well. So a little tip there for the wise. Hey, you're listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and our phone number is 713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. Write that down. Put it on the fridge. I don't know. Put it on your fertilizer spreader, wherever you might see it. And give us a call when you're out and about on a Saturday. Hopefully, some of you are now on about what? Second, third cup of coffee, and we are starting to gain consciousness and be ready to get out and enjoy things in the garden. The springtime, it's easy to be a gardener in the spring. I mean, the gardening fever attacks. I've said before, I think there's probably some microbe in the soil that releases a currently unknown substance that we breathe in, and it affects our brains. I mean, it suddenly we become excited about gardening like no other time of the year. We are motivated to try things. We believe anything we read or see when it comes to gardening. I used to say it affects the reason center of the brain, because in addition to being inspired to garden, sometimes we're inspired to do some things that aren't very advisable practices. That's why we're here on Garden Line. You can give us a call. We can try to point you in the right direction and turn all that gardening fever into beauty and bounty over the course of the coming season. And of course, our great independent garden centers that we talk about, they can also provide the same kind of advice. Some of them will even, you know, help you if you bring in a plant sample. What is this? Or maybe a picture. What is this plant? I saw it blooming across town. And they can direct you to a good one. I'm going to stop jabbering here for just a moment. I'd like to go out to Spring Branch and talk with Judy. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. About fertilizing, if I have any in my lawn, doesn't it defeat the purpose to fertilize now? Won't the weeds benefit from fertilizer?
Well, that's why we don't fertilize earlier. You know, if you start fertilizing January and February, those nutrients are going to be there for the weeds to take off and grow while your grass is still sleeping like a teenager at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. We wait until we mowed twice, ideally. Now, when you mow, though, you're going to be cutting off the tops of the weeds. You're going to be cutting off a lot of the weed seeds that are up there, up higher up, like annual bluegrass, for example, you know, has all its weeds sticking up on the top. So we want to knock those into a bagger and get rid of them. You can go ahead and fertilize at this point. If you haven't mowed twice, you want to wait, that's fine. But just get the right products down at the right time, and we've got so many good ones here locally, local products that you hear us talk about that do well.
Okay.
All right, Judy?
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Let's run out now to Spring Branch and talk to Herta. Is it Herta or Herta?
Herta.
All right.
Oh, I thank you for being there for us. You're doing such a good job. No, I asked you about the night blooming aspen.
Mm-hmm.
And I chopped it down to about 3 inches off the soil, but I don't think it's going to make it.
All right.
Didn't look good at all.
Hey, Herta, I'm gonna have to put you on hold for a break, but I'm going to have Josh get on with you. I'm having trouble hearing the question, and maybe we can get some clarity. And when I come out of break, I'll answer your question, all right? You're listening to Garden Line. Our number is 713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. I was mentioning some different things, and I apologize this morning, by the way, for our little call connections. We're going to finally get that figured out. But I was talking about some tips for gardeners and tips for new gardeners and things. If you have not taken your kids out to buy a small plant and grow it themselves at home, please do that. It could be a house plant that goes in a window. It could be a little herb plant. You know, herbs are almost foolproof. You get a good little container with well-drained soil. My wife bought some herbs the other day, and they're growing in little containers in our windowsill. And they look beautiful. Now, you know, they're not going to do as good as they would do out in the full sun, but they're growing, and they're happy. And plants in the house makes me happy, and I think it would probably make you happy, too, just being around living things like that. Kids need to do that. They need to experience it. And we haven't even begun to talk about bug safaris in the garden. That's my favorite thing to do with kids. Hey, give us a call, 212-5874. You can examine it and watch, make sure everything's okay. Well, I believe it's time to take another break. You are listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter. If you'd like to give us a call, 713-212-5874. 212-5874. All righty. Let's see. I think we're going to go now, and we're kind of doing it by the seat of our pants here today with the gremlins in the system, but I want to answer a few questions that have come in. Boy, I tell you what, you know, you tell people they don't have to be live on the air, and here come all kinds of questions from that. We had a question come in from Vicky, and Vicky wants to know, how soon should she start watering and fertilizing a re-sodded lawn? Well, when you put new sod down, especially when it's warm, and we generally do most of our sodding, you know, in April or so, as it begins to warm up, because the grass is actively growing. The key is you want to get the sod on the soil with good sod to soil contact. No air pockets under there. You want it to be good contact. That's why they roll over them or walk on the pieces to kind of press them down. You're going to water it often in small amounts. That's the only time you're going to hear me saying that about watering a lawn. Normally, deep, infrequent soaking is the way to water your lawn. A brand new sod, a little sliver of black clay soil that came in from the sod farm. You got to get those roots down in the soil of your yard. So a light watering, even twice a day initially for the first, you know, 2 or 3 days, and then maybe once a day for a few days, then going to about every, you know, 2 days or so, and then three. And by the time we get about 2 or 3 weeks into it, we're backing off toward a twice a week, once a week kind of schedule. But that's important to help it get going. Now, don't turn into a swamp. Don't put an inch of water on twice a day, just a little bit. You're just keeping it alive and going until it can get its roots down and established. I usually wait a few weeks before I start fertilizing because, when you saw that they're just, number one, it's got nutrients in it already. I mean, the turf farm's taking care of that because they're growing it and trying to get it to grow fast. But once it's been in the ground and rooted in, you've given it a few weeks to root in, then you could begin your fertilization schedule to really get it up and going fast, Vicki. So I think that remedy or that schedule is a pretty good one to get you off to a really good start. But lots of interest in lawns today. There always is a lot of interest in lawns. And I'm surprised we didn't have any tree questions this morning. That's normally one thing that really makes the phone ring for sure. I was talking earlier to someone about some lichen in their tree. Someone had asked me about, what is this little frilly stuff? It's gray. Sometimes it's gray, green. There's even kind of a mustardy color version of it out there. And lichen is just a substance that's growing on the outer bark. You'll see lichen on a fence post. You'll see lichen on rocks. It's not a parasite. It's not hurting your tree, but often heavy lichen infestations are a sign, number one, of a lot of humidity. They like that, but of a light coming in. So as your tree canopy thins out, you tend to get more lichens growing because there's a little better light coming into it. And so it's not causing the decline, but it's another sign that the plant is declining. So when I walk up to a plant and it just isn't real vigorous, but I see a lot of lichens, I know that plant has been struggling for some time. And it's time to figure out why it's struggling and fix that. But don't worry about having to spray the lichens on it. In fact, if you want to be nerdy, you get your little magnifier and go up and look at some lichen up close. Oh my gosh, it is fascinating. It's a whole new world of plants. You know, like getting into a microscopic level and looking at things. The intricacies, the coloring, the textures and stuff. Really cool stuff. So does that sound like a gardening nerd talking? Guilty as charged. That was me. But anyway, your trees will benefit from some nutrients now. And this is a good time to get the nutrients down for your trees. Now, when you fertilize your lawn, the trees are going to get some of that. I mean, some of it's going to move down, but not all nutrients do. Phosphorus, for example, it tends to tie up right at the surface of the soil. It doesn't go down very far. I was looking at a study, some extension service in the Midwest or someplace did this, but they applied phosphorus to soil for years, and then they sampled the soil in the top inch from 1 to 2 inches, 2 to 3 inches, and the vast majority of phosphorus was in the top inch of soil. This was an unplowed, undisturbed soil. And the point is that it ties up very, very quickly, especially in some types of soil, like a clay soil. And so when you're fertilizing a tree, to have someone come down and put a nutrient down in the ground, they often call that deep root fertilizing. They don't go that terribly deep in it, but they get the nutrients down underground in high pressure water. That can help build those lower layers where there are also roots that are active and taking care of it. And talking with the folks out at Affordable Tree the other day, I was asking about, you know, their equipment and the PSI and all the nerd stuff about how it works. But another thing that does is when you put a high-pressure water on an end of a stick down in the soil and you release that, it helps to create some fracturing in the soil. It opens up the soil a little bit more. And so just like with aerating, anytime we get nitrogen, or excuse me, air down in the soil further, where organic matter can also go in those holes, that just helps invigorate that tree's root system as well. All right, well, it's time for another break. Here we go. Man, time flies this morning. 713-212-5874. I see a few of you on the board, and Josh is getting the word over to me, so we'll come right back to you when we come back.
KTRH Garden Line does not necessarily endorse any of the products or services advertised on this program.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to KTRH Garden Line with Skip Richter.
Show me his smell of grazing in the grass.
Grazing in the grass, he's like, yes, baby, can you see?
What a trip! Just watch him as the world goes
by. Good Saturday morning, gardeners and non-gardeners who we are about to convert into being gardeners. You're listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter. Give us a call, 713-212-5874. We have found a way to work around the gremlins. If you can, when you call in, talk to Josh. He can get some information from you, and we will try to get to what your questions are. So I did want to mention, I was talking about MicroLife before we went to break, and one product that I really wanted to tell you about that I didn't get to, and that's MicroLife Humates Plus. MicroLife Humates Plus is like concentrated compost in a bag. So you, when you add something like that to the soil, it's going to help loosen the soil. It's going to provide that organic matter that can do that. You're getting all kinds of beneficial microbes by the billions and just dozens and dozens of minerals that really help that plant to survive and to thrive and to go. So when you're fertilizing, don't just think about the 624, the fertilizer, but also the Humates Plus. Think of that as an extra boost to get more out of the fertilizer that you do put down. Well, we're going to take a brave attempt now to go to the phones, and I'm going to see if I can have a conversation here with Brian. Brian, hold your fingers, or cross your fingers and hold your mouth right so maybe we get through this call. Are you there?
My question is, I have an existing sprinkler system, but I want to convert it to a drip irrigation system on my front beds.
Okay.
And I just wanted your opinion on the best way to do that.
Good. Are you a do-it-yourselfer, or are you going to hire it done?
I'm eventually get it do-it-myselfer.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go ahead and answer that one for you. So on our sprinkler systems that are like for pop-up sprays or some other kind of an automatic spray system, you got a couple of options. You can tie into the line somewhere, go through a pressure reducer to get it down to drip irrigation pressure. You'll also want a filter as part of that system to take anything that's in the lines out to not plug your little drip emitters. And you want to have both of those things. And then, of course, a backflow preventer so nothing goes back into the lines. That's just required by law. But you can sometimes, where there are the little pop-up sprinkler heads, you can buy a product that screws on there and then you hook your drip tube to it. So it does that stuff for you, and you just hook your drip lines to that product that you've screwed onto the riser. You may have to take the tall riser out, kind of dig around it, unscrew it, and put a shorter tube in there with threaded ends. But the other way is just to convert that whole zone to one sprinkler system. So both are available. You want to go somewhere where they know what they're talking about so that they can really direct you and help you in that process, because there's a lot of technologies, there's a lot of products that are out there for those of you that are do-it-yourselfers, and we got some good places here in Houston. I was out at the Sprinkler Warehouse the other day looking at some of the stuff that they have, and they really do work with you well. But you'll find that there are a number of places in town that can provide those things to you. Just do a little bit of studying up on it. The main thing that can go wrong when you do a do-it-yourself drip irrigation system is, number one, not having the things at the start of the flow. That would be pressure reducer, backflow preventer, and the filter, so that your lines get clogged up. And number two, trying to run a line too long. The further you go down a line, the less pressure you have. And I'm not talking about 10 feet making a big difference. I'm talking about, you know, 100 feet. And then you're affecting the pressure a little bit. And so there's a lot of technologies that you can use. It's really not difficult. It's kind of like Tinker Toys, but you do need to follow a few simple rules that we've been talking about. So for just a bed or two, a little small garden area, it's not that difficult. Now, if you were trying to install a big whole landscape system, I would say call a professional to come in and help with it, because there's a lot of other things and moving parts when you start to get a bigger system, like that pressure loss over a distance of run that I mentioned. But it's easy being a do-it-yourselfer and trying some things out. One thing I would do if you're going to go hose end instead of converting your system, is I would get a timer, and I would start off with the faucet on your outside of your house, hooking a timer up there, and then the things I've talked about. And that way you can set it. You know, you can set some of these timers. You'd want to water 3 days a week for, I don't know, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever you want to do. You can set the timer to do that, and then you sort of walk away and forget about it. And that's kind of nice as an addition to it. If you're tying in, Brian, to a regular system, of course, you've got the clock that's on your regular system. If I still have Brian there, did that answer his? Here we go.
Yeah. Just a couple of things on that. So the Home Depot, for instance, has a DIG products. Do you know anything about those? Those are the backflow preventers things you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. And that DIG is just a kind of easy do-it-yourselfer type of packaging for all the different pieces and parts that are going to be in your system. So I would draw it out how you want it to run. Look at the products that are available, and that is just one. You can buy that in other places as well, the DIG line, and that, you know, that's just one of the consumer level packagings that they've done. Okay.
And you talked about a backflow preventer, but on the existing system, is that already on there?
Say that one more time.
The backflow preventer is already on the existing system.
Yeah, you probably already have a backflow if you've got an irrigation system. You sure should have a backflow if you have an irrigation system already on there. I had another question that I had been asked about irrigation. I just wanted to mention it. If you are looking at making your system more efficient, you should consider having a company come out and take a look at that and see what kinds of things they can do. The old pop-up sprinklers that just pop up and spray everywhere all at once, they use water at a pretty fast rate, and it's hard to get a good soak in without having them come on and off a couple times. There are multi-stream rotors and regular rotors that are more efficient, and a good company can come in and can reinstall that. So when we get back into watering season, and it's still cool enough to where we're not having to do a lot, then you're ready to go. So just something that you may want to consider as you're getting ready for those kinds of things. Hey, you're listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and we're here to answer your gardening questions. Give us a call at 713-212-5874, and we look forward to talking to you when we come back from break.
Cheeseburger eating, abandoned Sunday meeting, brand new country star. He rides around in a Lincoln Continental, no steer horns on his car. For the record, men say he's living in, they're gonna spin him right to the top.
Did you know Jimmy Buffett was a country star? You know, back when I listened to Margaritaville and all that, I never even put him together in my head as a country star, but he really, really was. I love that Caribbean sound of all that stuff. Maybe when it gets to be summertime and we're thinking in terms of how quickly can we get down to Galveston and the beach, we'll play a little bit more of some of Jimmy's stuff out there. Well, you are listening to Garden Line. I'm your host, Skip Richter, and let me give you a number. You can call in, talk to Josh. He'll get your question from you and get it to me. We're battling the digital gremlins, I guess, as you would today, but we're moving on and we're getting the job done here one way or another. I was out enjoying some time at a garden center the other day, and I ran across some different kinds of ground covers, and it kind of got me thinking, because a lot of times we will get questions about, well, it's too shady for a lawn grass to grow. You know, I've tried, and the grass just won't grow there. And I'm trying St. Augustine, which is the most shade tolerant that we have for this area, and it's not working. So what can I do? Well, a ground cover is an option. Now, you've seen Asian jasmine everywhere. I mean, it's a dependable ground cover, does well, and especially in a little bit more light than deep, deep shade. But we have some other ones that we can use. And one of the groups of plants that I think is underutilized, and hopefully that will change, are the sedges. Now, sedges are kin to nut grass. Now, I know that's making you think, well, I'm not planting that in my yard. Well, they don't produce nutlets underground. They don't have those tubers. They don't spread like that. They're clumping grasses. Think of the clumping sedges. Sedge and grass are technically different. But imagine these soft little things. Some of them get about 6-8 inches high. Some of them may get 12 inches high or higher. But they form a little soft mound like you would expect an ornamental grass to look, but in a miniature. And you can plant them throughout an area. We have native sedges that do well here. We have literally native to different parts of Texas even. We have some sedges that are not native, but they also do really well here. And so if you've never looked into sedges, that may be the problem solver. Now, they need a little bit of moisture. They don't want to totally dry out. They're not like a hydrangea that you're watering a lot to keep it happy. But give that a consideration. I think that you'll find that sedges may be a good one for you. So Walt called in, and Walt is calling from the Woodlands, and he has some Japanese blueberries and doing some regrowth after the freeze decided to prune them off at about 5 feet high. And so his question is, should he let the new branches grow or trim them back? Well, Japanese blueberry is another one of those plants that I would call a somewhat marginal here. Many years, it's just fine. But when we get those test winters, and you know, this December was kind of interesting. You know, February 2021, the one we talk about all the time, the freeze of record, that was just incredibly cold. But the December freeze we just had wasn't nearly as cold as that. But plants were not ready, and when it hit, it did some significant damage. And Japanese blueberry is an example of one that is going to get damaged when we have that kind of plant. We were talking earlier about bottle brush being in a similar category. Doesn't mean I wouldn't plant a bottle brush, for example, but it just means it's one of the things we deal with. So you can prune them back. Just think about what it's going to look like when you prune it back. You know, cut it real low and start back from the ground, near the ground. If you just got some dead branches here and there, you can prune it. But just always remember, when you are dealing with an evergreen plant that you want to be a wall of foliage, you got to have sunlight through the whole plant, top to bottom. So if the top gets wide, you know, you top it off and it sprouts out, and now you have this little umbrella of foliage, it's going to shade out the bottom and you're going to be able to see through the bottom. And if you planted it so you don't have to watch your neighbor work on his car on the concrete blocks in his Speedo next summer, you want to make sure and block that unsightly view. And so that's why we want to keep good foliage all the way to the ground. So that includes keeping the top a little narrower so that whatever foliage you have is maintained and stays dense going a little further down on the plant. Well, we are hitting time for a break. I've got some folks on the line. Hang on. We'll come back to you, Diana, and others when we come back. 713-212-5874. Why don't you get on the board so we can talk to you, too?
Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, I see you every
my Bing and I'll woo you every day. I'll be your regular mama and I'll put that gun away.
I'll lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay the thing down before it goes off and hurts somebody.
All right, we promise a surprise every now and then in the music category. Now, if you've heard that song before, if you know that song, raise your hand. No, not you. You're lying. I know you have. Come on now. That is a unique one. I love to go back. You know, we live in the decade we live in, but oh my gosh. By the way, that was before my time. No thanks to those of you who thought, were you alive back then? Well, I don't know. No, I wasn't. But anyway, hey, we're talking to gardeners today on Garden Line, and that would be you. Give us a call, 713-212-5874. We're going to talk to Diana out in Cinco Ranch. Good morning, Diana. And if we can get this done without all the scratchies getting in the way, if not, I'll just answer off the phone.
Okay, great. First of all, congratulations to the host of Garden Line. You're doing a great job. And I love the music you play.
All right, Diana, I'm going to have to cut in. I've got the gist of your question. I apologize for this, but we're going to go ahead and answer it without the phones. If you have got space, but only for a container garden, and you're wanting some plants that will do well in that container, Diana, there are a lot of good ones that can take you into summer. Now, if the container's in the shade, don't forget things like caladiums. A container full of caladiums is a beautiful way. You can set those around underneath the trees. And you may think, well, that's not a garden spot. Well, with a container, it is, with that kind of foliage color. Out in the sun, the lobularia, the stream series of lobularia, think of alyssum, that spills over the sides of the container is good. There are a few container size salvias. One of them is called Misty, M-Y-M-I-S-T-Y, I believe is how they spell it. But anyway, where you go and shop, they'll direct you to it. It's a very compact type. Angelonia is a good upright, spiky blooms, takes a lot of heat, does super, super well. Madagascar periwinkles, people call that vinca, but I call it Madagascar periwinkle because we have something else called vinca, and that's how it is with plant names. But those can take whatever heat the summer throws at them. And the list just goes on and on and on. One reason we always send you guys to a good quality independent nursery center is because they are going to have so many things. You know, I just gave you a few, but when you get there, they're going to take you to 5 or 10 or 20 other things that you could be putting in a container like that, just depending on what is of interest to you. But those flowers will get you started, hopefully off to a really nice spring full of blooms. Let's see, today is just cooking. I mean, it is moving. We probably have time for one quick call. If you'd like to call in, 713-212-5874, 713-212-KTRH. We're going to be heading out after this to Plantation Ace Hardware, Mason Road, down in Richmond. Those of you in Fort Bend County know where I'm talking about. I bet you've even been there. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'll be there. And I've been talking about it this morning, but I hope you'll come out. Let's meet. I'd love to meet you. If you got some questions, this is time to sit down eye to eye, not across a radio with phones that are not cooperating today, but eye to eye. We can look at plant samples, look at pictures of your landscape, or just talk about whatever. And if you just want to brag about how great a tomato grower you were and how big the tomatoes were last year, well, we'll tolerate that as well. Gardeners have to do that kind of thing. If you've never met a gardener, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever tried to garden, you know what I'm talking about. After we're out of here, I think they're going to bring in some folks with swinging incense and maybe do a little exorcism on the gremlins that are inhabiting the wires this morning. So we'll be back tomorrow morning, by the way, at 6 a.m. We are going to be 6 to 10 tomorrow, and we look forward to having your gardening calls as well. Just a quick tip, by the way, early first thing, there are not a lot of your fellow gardeners that are willing to try to get their throat cleared and give a call first thing in the morning, so that's a good time to get on without having to wait. So just something you might want to consider. One other tip I want to give you before we get out of here today is talking about hanging plants and hanging baskets. Hanging baskets, well, they're containers in the air. You also want a larger volume of soil for them to do well. Now, a plastic hanging basket is going to hold water a little bit better than some of the others, but a volume of soil allows that to make it through a hot day without you watering it three times during the day, trying to keep it alive. Hanging baskets in general, because they're hanging, either they're on a hook out in the sun, or they're maybe under the eaves or under the trees in the shade. And By the way, one of the most beautiful hanging baskets I ever saw, it was huge. I mean, it was like 30 inches across, just huge. Underneath a live oak tree, and they had pothos ivy growing out of it. They had Aztec grass in it. They had caladiums. I mean, it was just a riot of color, all beautiful underneath the tree. So don't forget, you know, we call these things houseplants. They're not native to the house. Someone goes crawling through a jungle somewhere and finds this thing stuck to a tree and brings it back, and now we have a new houseplant. Well, you can do the same thing in your gardens. In fact, down here in Houston, it is so mild some winters that I've even seen pothos attached to a tree crawling up the side that made it through the winter, came back out of the ground from the base after a freeze. So take advantage of every area. There should not be an area of your landscape that you can't have beauty, color, or productivity in. So don't just think, oh, well, I've got a sunny patio and that's it. No. Turn everything into something valuable. Valuable visually to you, valuable to the birds, perhaps for the berries, valuable to beneficial insects because of the bloom. And remember all four seasons. So get out there and shop, talk to your independent garden center and say, what do you have that will fill this hole in my landscape?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.